Harris. Welcome to America Weekend, a new kind of radio because life doesn't stop on the weekends. Over the last several years, I have talked with Dave Barry many times, almost every time with one of his co-authors, because he's been writing books with other people. The series of Peter and the Starcatcher books with Ridley Pearson and the bestseller Lunatics with Alan Zweibel. But now Dave is back out on his own with his first solo adult novel in, I think, over a decade. It's called Insane City. And I'm happy to have him back on the show. Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm well, Paul. How are you?
Good. Was it hard not sending off each chapter and waiting for somebody else to write the next chapter?
Well, it's good and it's bad. I mean, the good part is that I don't have to ask anybody's permission. You know, I don't have to get anybody to agree with my ideas. And I have these hilarious arguments with both Alan and Ridley, particularly with Ridley, because we were writing a book about fantasy world. And I once yelled at him, and I wasn't kidding. I said, a mermaid would not do that. and it didn't occur to me until days later that that was pretty stupid. But anyway, so I don't have that. And in that sense, it's a little more relaxed for me. On the other hand, when you're writing it all by yourself, you don't really have anybody to blame it on if it goes wrong, and you don't have anybody to turn to for help. So it's a little scarier.
Yeah. Tell my listeners some of the basic plot of Insane City.
Okay, well, the insane city in question is Miami, and I live in Miami. I moved here in 1986 from the United States, and it's not a normal place. The city of Miami, the whole of South Florida, really, and this is fairly well known. The people are strange here. The wildlife is strange here. We have, to pick one thing, we have giant snakes, not just a few of them. We have apparently tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of Burmese pythons roaming around. We have, we have a lot of criminals, and I'm just talking there about like the city government. and then we have some, you know, kind of more freelance criminals, less organized. No, people from all over come here mostly to party. A lot of people just come here to party. People don't generally come here for serious reasons. So it's a crazy town. And, my book, Insane City, is about a couple that wants to get married here. They live in Washington, D.C., but they're having a destination wedding here in Miami. The story sort of focuses mostly on the groom, who's a nice guy, but, you know, not a very ambitious person. His wife is wealthy, successful, very driven, very type A, and she's planned the perfect, perfect, perfect wedding at the Ritz-Carlton on Key Biscayne. And the groom is a nice guy named Seth, just go-along, get-along guy, who's never worried about issues or anything like that, shows up with his groom posse on the Friday evening.
His groom posse?
The groom posse. And really, right from the start, everything goes very wrong for Seth. And among other things, and this is not by any stretch the worst thing that happens to him, He has been entrusted with only one thing, which is the wedding ring, a very valuable heirloom ring. And he manages to lose it the first night here, and it falls into the hands of an orangutan named Trevor, who later becomes also sort of a romance interest in the book. But ultimately, Seth winds up in a sort of a serious situation. He's out on the beach the first night, wasted, and he ends up rescuing a woman and her two children from the sea, right off of Key Biscayne. They're Haitian refugees, and he is suddenly, you know, his perfect weekend has turned into this weird nightmare where he is suddenly responsible for this woman and her two children, who don't want to be turned over to the police because they're Haitian refugees and would be sent back to Haiti. So that becomes sort of the heart of the story. I know that may not sound funny, but the book is meant to be a comic novel, Paul. Trust me on that.
Well, it is. It is. I've read it, so I know.
Okay. I didn't know you were allowed to actually read books if you did this for a living.
Yeah. Well, especially ones that are great to pick up and, you know, breeze through because your writing is so easy to consume.
Well, I use a lot of small words.
You know, I mean that in the best possible way, Dave. But I am forced as a broadcaster interrogator to ask, orangutan, pirates, medical marijuana brownies, a stripper who could only be described as oversized.
Large, a plus size.
And of course, yes, there is a snake there. How much of your writing is autobiographical?
Well, I did go to a wedding. my My son got married a few years ago, which really kind of, one of the reasons I wanted to write a book with a wedding in it was I watched as my son and his bride, I love them both. My daughter-in-law is great. I love her. But, you know, I don't know if you've been through a wedding lately. They go crazy. The brides kind of go crazy. They're driven insane by the wedding industrial complex, where everything has to be perfect and everything yep. has to be wonderful and it has to be different. And, you know, they get obsessed with this day and making everything go perfect. So that was partly, that was the closest came to autobiographical, watching up close an actual modern wedding. And I wanted to write a book around that. The rest of it, though, the snake, the orangutan, the medical marijuana, the stuff like that, those are things that happen here all the time in South Florida. So you just read the paper, and there, you know, Carl Hiaasen, the great Carl Hiaasen, has the best line. He says, you really don't need an imagination to write novels set in South Florida. You just need a subscription to the Miami Herald. There's nothing that you could possibly make up is going to turn out to be weirder than the things that are actually happening here already.
You know, you mentioned the pythons. They actually had the state organized a hunt told people that they could go out and hunt those. How did that go?
I have to tell you, this happened just when my book came out, and this is a perfect example of something much too ridiculous for anybody to make up. Yeah, the estimates are that there's more than 100,000 pythons in the Everglades. The state of Florida, and as I say, our state motto, you can't spell it without duh, decided that the solution to this problem and these are big snakes, these pythons out there, the solution was to hold what they called the Python Challenge, where they invited anybody from anywhere who wanted to come here to kill our pythons. And you had to take an online course and ask anybody who, you know, how you learn to kill big snakes. It's online. And pay a $25 fee, but that's it. So you just show up. So apparently 1,000 people came down here. And the deal was whoever got the most pythons would get $1,500, and whoever got the longest python would get $1,000. And the only strict thing that the python.org website said was that you had to kill them humanely. You can't just chop off the python's head, Paul, because that's not humane. You want to know why?
Because it's harder to measure?
No, because the python keeps thinking. The brain keeps... Okay, I'm not making this up. This is according to the official website. They don't tell you what it's thinking. It's probably thinking like, whoa, what happened to my body? But anyway, so here's the numbers. There's like 100,000 or more pythons.
Mm-hmm.
There are 1,000 people coming down here to kill them. Mm-hmm. It goes on for 1 month. At the end of the month, the official state tally, but this is Florida, we're not that great at counting, but as far as we know, the official state tally of number of pythons killed, 68. And, you know, I'm not a biologist, but I'm assuming that during that same month, a couple of mama pythons laid some eggs, you know what I'm saying? Probably more than 68 new pythons were born. So, in other words, the pythons won the Python Challenge. That's a perfect example of, if you wrote a book with that in it, nobody would do that. You
no.
know, but it happened.
I have driven through the Everglades. I would bet you that more pythons were killed by drivers accidentally on the road.
That's right. You do. You see all kinds of, you drive across Alligator Alley, you see all kinds of wildlife. Well, it's not so much life anymore.
Right.
It was wild. Now, more or less, it's it just blots on the road. But yes, you see quite a wide range of wildlife. I myself do not get the appeal of the Everglades. Everybody I know who comes here for the first time wants to see the Everglades, and they go out there. And people who haven't been there, let me just tell you, it's just a lot of grass.
Yeah, it's not exciting.
Not really, no. It's not Disney World, folks. There's just grass.
And if you want Disney World, you have a Disney World.
Huh?
If you want a Disney World, you have a Disney World.
We have Disney World, yeah. And there's no live pythons there that I know of.
The book is called Insane City. It is Dave Barry's first solo adult novel. Oh, that makes it sound dirty.
It does. It sounds like porno. But if that'll help sell the book, I'll go with it.
Do you care if people buy it as a book or as an e-book?
They can do it either way, or they can simply mail me money in an envelope.
To do that, you can get the address by going to Dave's website, DaveBarry.com, where, by the way, you can read an excerpt, I think, like the first two or three chapters.
I think you can,
Yeah, it's always great to talk to you, Dave. Thanks for joining me.
Stay here, Bob. It's good to talk to you, man.
Dave Barry. Again, the book is called Insane City, and you can tell from his description that that is exactly what his hometown of Miami is like. Pulitzer Prize winner Dave Barry here on America Weekend. We'd love your feedback. The phone number is 855-538-TALK. The email address is paul@americaweekend.com. And we're also on Twitter and Facebook. This is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Networks. Thanks for listening. America Weekend.